VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Thank you for joining us here on Crosstalk as we close out 1 year and begin the next. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to focus on some important issues here today. You see, since the state of Virginia turned blue, there has been a war that's been waged against the Second Amendment. Some have referred to it as a civil war that's been brewing, as the governor may call up the National Guard to enforce gun control laws that they plan to pass. Pro-Constitution sheriffs are standing up to the assault, and counties across the state are becoming sanctuary counties in protection of the Second Amendment. And while this is going on in Virginia, unfolding there this past Sunday, many lives were saved. Because church members who were carrying a concealed firearm neutralized a killer whose intent was pure evil. Joining us in discussion on these matters, we welcome Mark Walters. He's a national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and the broadcast media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. He's a recipient of the 2015 Gun Rights Defender of the Year Award. He is a columnist and author of three books, Lessons from Armed America, Lessons from Unarmed America, and Grilling While Armed. Mark, welcome back here to Crosstalk.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Mark, let's begin with the church shooting this past Sunday at West Freeway Church of Christ. It's remarkable that this entire scenario started and stopped within 6 seconds. Unfold for us what took place.
Well, let's go back to the beginning of what occurred. And I'm sure you've seen the video. America
Yes.
has seen the video. And I want to say, thankfully, because the church, as my church does, streams its services over the internet, there was no way the mainstream media could walk away from this. They had to cover this. They normally would have buried this story. Not enough people were killed. It doesn't fit their agenda. In fact, it blows their agenda up. But in this particular case, we had an individual who apparently had been fed by the church over a certain amount of time in the past. He was an individual who was already 100% complete gun controlled. He had criminal violations on a record that precluded him from being anywhere near a firearm. He violated those laws. He then walked into the church, and we saw in a disguise, apparently a beard, mm-hmm. and a hood, and a wig, and whatever else he had, and opened fire. And the moment he opened fire, if we watch the video over again, it's terrible to see, but we have to see it. And America has to see it.
Yes.
The first individual that was shot and killed was in the process of reaching for a firearm,
mm-hmm.
at which point when he was fired upon and the second person was fired upon in less than 6 seconds, Mr. Wilson, a hero by any stretch, by any description, 71-year-old man, did what he had to do and, in his own words, killed evil
yeah.
in the church. And what was remarkable was at the bottom portion of the video, if you go back and watch it multiple times, which, again, is tough to do, but we need to do it, we saw no less than five other congregants
mm-hmm.
pull their firearms, including one female, and while their guns were drawn, begin ushering people to safety as the pastor crawled off of the podium down the steps on his hands and knees
yep.
and began ushering people out the doors. This was nothing less than proof positive in 6 seconds what a good person with a gun can do to stop evil. Had they not been there, there were 242, I believe, congregants in that church. We can only speculate what would have happened. It would have been awful.
Oh, indeed. And I saw the story in our Associated Press, and they reported more than 240 worshipers were at the church. And, you know, I had to think, suppose the people in this church had not been armed, and the gunman would have had not seconds, Mark, but minutes. I mean, that scenario is just totally unthinkable.
Well, you know, it's actually not unthinkable. Let me shift over to Parkland, if I could, for just a moment, because we've seen what happens when a school is undefended or when a church is undefended. And I want to give some numbers. You mentioned the six-second response. Famously, that was incredible, the response, the bravery of those individuals in that church and the reaction time that they had in a life-and-death scenario like that. I want to segue over to Parkland. It's very important. A minute and 39 seconds it took for armed law enforcement response at Parkland. Now, never mind the fact that the individual would later be dubbed the coward of Broward, the fact that we're looking at here when we analyze this is that there was an armed law enforcement response in 1 minute and 39 seconds, which is remarkably fast. The average is anywhere from 2 to 7 to 12 minutes, depending on where you are. But in that minute and 38 seconds that preceded the arrival of law enforcement, should he have chosen to act, 20 people were shot, 9 fatally, in 1 minute and 38 seconds. Now, let's juxtapose that against what happened at the church in Texas, and it's important that we look at that, because the governor would later put together a panel of a commission of 13 individuals, all of whom went into the commission to study what happened at Parkland against arming teachers. Every single one of them, it was unanimous when they came out, voted to arm teachers because they saw the video, similar to the video we see at the church in Texas. However, the video at Parkland was defenseless individuals who couldn't do what they did in Texas. And when they looked at that video, particularly law enforcement, Sheriff Bob Galtieri from Pinellas County, Florida, who was vehemently anti-arming teachers, came out steadfast saying, we have to change. We have to arm our teachers. No less than 5 times when that individual reloaded could he have been taken down, and that carnage stopped. And now America is seeing it, and I'm thankful that we're able to see it for the first time, and people are waking up to this fact that, yes, good people with guns do stop evil, and it happens many times a day in this country, not just them.
So what we saw unfold at this church in Texas really, I mean, this video is amazing. This really is a training video, is it not?
Oh, it absolutely is. There's no question about it, and I shudder to think what could have happened, and I shudder when I look at the video. It's disturbing to watch because you watch 2 lives taken, actually 3 when you consider the murderer, but when you look and see what happened in that church and you see the response, what's amazing to me is the response from the anti-rights crowd or the gun prohibitionist crowd is now silence. And I can promise you that the mainstream media would not have covered this story had it not been the video out there beforehand, before they had gotten it. The media, the mainstream press in America, had gotten this video before it went viral, it would have been squashed. Mm-hmm. And I can point to dozens upon dozens of incredibly compelling human interest stories that, in fact, were buried by the mainstream press that should have been leading every national news network of the alphabet soup mainstream press, and never does. It doesn't fit their agenda.
The pastor of the church, Britt Farmer, he spoke following the shooting, and I'm going to play just a brief audio clip what he had to say as he expressed thanks for allowing his congregation to be armed. Let's hear from Pastor Britt Farmer.
I'm the senior minister at the West Freeway Church of Christ. First off, I want to say that I am extremely thankful to Lieutenant Governor and the Governor, Governor Patrick and Governor Abbott, and their rapid response to this, to the law enforcement agencies that have been here. We couldn't have asked for more professional, seamless interviews and work with our congregation and our people, and the kindness that was shown to them by law enforcement. We lost 2 great men today, but it could have been a lot worse. And I'm thankful that our government has allowed us the opportunity to protect ourselves. We have a congregation here of open-hearted people. We help people. We're here to help people. And to have something like this happen destroys my heart. And when I say destroys it because there is evil in this world. Today is one sermon I'll never preach. It'll go away. It was called Leaving a Legacy. And 2 men today left a legacy. But a congregation is going to build on that legacy.
Mark, your response.
Those lives taken in that church are not taken in vain today. As much as I hate to say that, it's very difficult to listen to that. And I'm hopeful when he says that the church is going to build that legacy, that they do, in fact, build that legacy, not just spiritually, but physically. And I believe that's what he means by that. But it is, I think America got to see something that, unfortunately, we don't like to see, but we have to. We cannot close our eyes to this. You heard him say what we just said here, and I had not heard that statement from him in its entirety. But, in fact, evil does exist.
Yeah.
And for us to begin to be able to take our own self-defense and our self-preservation seriously, We cannot live in denial. And this is preached in churches across the country of any denomination. We have to accept that evil exists and walks amongst us. If we don't, then we're at mercy of evil, because evil acts at a time and place of its choosing, as we saw. And we have to be able to react to that. I want to point out to what Joe Biden said back in November of 17. He says it's absolutely irrational, it's totally irrational, that the governor of Texas would sign a law allowing parishioners to carry in church.
Mark, let me interrupt you, because we're going to hear him in his own words say those very things. Here is the clip.
And the second one is on the dealing with firearms. It is irrational, with all due respect to the governor of Texas, irrational what they're doing. On the very day you see a mass shooting, I guess the numbers now, I was on a plane the last 2.5 hours, they got up to 5 killed. And we're talking about loosening access to have guns, be able to take them into places of worship, store them in school. I mean, it's just absolutely irrational. It's totally irrational.
Here we have former Vice President Joe Biden, who wants to be President of the United States, saying that the action taken by the governor, the lieutenant governor there of Texas, allowing guns in Texas churches to be irrational. We just witnessed 6 seconds why it is not irrational, but very rational.
My response to Biden on that is as it is with any of the anti-rights or anti-freedom or gun prohibitionist lobby, and that is, it's hard for us to wrap our head around how an individual, a sane individual, could say that after witnessing what we've witnessed in that church, when we know that police officers defend themselves and citizens every day with guns, that the statistics bear out. Obama's own Department of Justice, or Bureau of Justice Statistics, tried to debunk Gary Kleck's study from the early 90s that showed up to 2.5 million defensive gun users, otherwise known as a DGU, in America annually, to the tune of thousands per day across this vast nation of ours. But to hear somebody say that, what we need to understand is that there's a class of American citizen that believes that all guns are bad and that all people who own guns are eventually going to do bad things. And Joe Biden happens to fall in that camp, I think. And I can say that with fair certainty based on the positions he's taken during the campaign. Mm-hmm. Joe Biden said that over a year ago, 2 years ago, when he made those statements. But I can only conclude that he believes that all guns are bad, and that these people believe that anybody that owns a gun is eventually going to do something bad with it.
More recently, he said that any weapon that was capable of carrying magazines that can hold multiple bullets should be banned. I mean, that's nearly all firearms, Mark.
Yeah, that's just about every firearm except a revolver. And you know, I'm glad that Joe Biden said that, and I'm glad that Beto O'Rourke said what he said on my national radio shows, Armed American Radio and Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. From the beginning of the Obama years, I've been on the air now 11 years, I've been saying this is what they want. Their ultimate agenda, their ultimate goal is civilian disarmament. Oh, Obama didn't do anything about guns his first term. No, what he did was he pulled a page out of the Joy Behar playbook. Was don't tell him what you want to do. Get elected and then do it.
Right.
He waited a term, waited for his reelection, and then went after guns in multiple ways, with multiple executive orders, in his second term.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Walters is our guest. We're examining this Texas church shooting. And also we'll be talking about the war and the Second Amendment that's taking place. And we'll be looking at Virginia as a case in point. We'll be back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what were the flying dinosaurs?
Chris, the flying reptiles like the pterodactyls were not really dinosaurs. By definition, dinosaurs walked on land with bones different from the flying reptiles. But they're often in the same discussion, usually as being huge reptiles from the great age of reptiles. Of course, I disagree with the term age of reptiles. I think all animals were created during creation week, flying animals on day 5 and land animals on day 6. But, you know, there's a lot of evidence that these flying reptiles lived at the same time as humans. Sober historians of yesteryear describe such beasts and even drew pictures of them. And the American Indians even drew pictures of the Thunderbird, and their drawings are similar to the Pteranodon. Make no mistake, Chris, the evidence fits the back-to-Genesis truth of recent creation of all things.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Mark Walters, our guest today, a national board member of the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, also broadcast media spokesman for the Second Amendment Foundation. He hosts his own talk show and dealing with these issues on a regular basis, and authored books on the topic. Before we leave Texas, I also just want to point out the individual, Jack Wilson, the ex-FBI agent, member of the church, who's one, he heads up the security team at the church. He's the one who stopped the shooter, shot only one bullet, and he said this: "I'm thankful to God that I've been blessed with the ability and desire to serve him in the role of security at the church." There's a lot to unpack even from that statement alone, but certainly his serving in this capacity of heading up security at the church, wow, what a powerful position, and very thankful to have him in that position itself.
And the fact that he acknowledged the fact that evil exists,
yes.
He's not living in denial. And I think that statement is an exclamation point on that story, quite frankly. I don't know that you or I or anyone else could really add anything to that. It needs to stand on its own. And America is seeing it, and that's a beautiful thing.
Before we leave Texas, just your comment, Mark, in brief, what should be our takeaway from the Texas church shooting?
I think what everybody knows, that it's not paying attention to the biased mainstream press, and that if we want to be able to save ourselves, and if we want to keep evil at bay, we have to be able to defend ourselves. And what happened in Texas should be the norm across this country. And here's what I would submit to you, that if evil knows that, evil will walk away. We will see far less of this if we know that the end result, if evil knows the end result, is the way this turned out.
Well, the shooting comes amidst a very heavy-handed attack on the Second Amendment that's going on in Virginia right now. It's being led by the governor, Ralph Northam. But if you would, Mark, take us to Virginia. Lay out what is taking place there.
Okay, this is a complicated situation in the state of Virginia, and it's also what I have determined on my program with my guests, including some of the greatest defenders of the Second Amendment across the country, the great Alan Gottlieb, the founder of the Second Amendment Foundation, Dr. John Lott, and others, when I asked what they believed was the biggest story of the year. My belief is, and while they all have great answers, individual answers, mine is Virginia, is what's happening in Virginia. So let me take you back 25 years. Virginia has not seen Democrat rule all three levers of power for nearly a quarter of a century. Michael Bloomberg this year dumped close to $2.5 million into about three counties, Loudoun County, Fairfax County, up near the greater D.C. area, that are widely seen and regarded as staunch blue counties. By doing so, he was able to flip three seats. Flipping those three seats gave the legislature, both houses of the assembly, to the Democrats. As payback to Michael Bloomberg, Governor Northam has decided that he is not going to go after what the Democrats always try to claim some moral superiority over, fixing schools, the education system, tunnels down at Hampton Roads, bridges and highways, healthcare system. No, what they've decided to do the moment they walk into the legislature in Virginia on January 9th is institute 8 or 9 gun control bills that will not keep Virginia safer, that will only burden law-abiding citizens. One gun a month, for example. Stripping guns away from 21-year-olds. You can be a 19-year-old or 20-year-old police officer and carry a gun for a living and not be old enough to carry a gun in the home that you own with your wife because you're an adult at 18 years old. They want to take away his ban, and it is a ban. He was asked if it was a confiscation ban. He said, that is what I'm thinking, yes, of taking away quote-unquote assault rifles. And they determine what an assault rifle is based on whatever description they choose to give it.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular case, just like we saw in Washington State and others, it's virtually all semi-automatic rifles, including the AR-15, which is the most common rifle in use at the time, protected by the individual right as laid out in Heller by Scalia in his brilliant decision, yet perverted by the left because they don't like the AR-15 with their friends in the media. So we need a Supreme Court case in there. I'll have to digress, and that's a different topic. But nonetheless, in response to that, you now have a remarkable uprising of law-abiding citizens in Virginia who are the victims of a 40% voter turnout that gave the Democrats power. Had every one of these individuals had a flock to these individual county meetings voted, Virginia wouldn't be in the situation it's in. So there's a very valuable lesson at stake here. But what we've got now, to put it in a nutshell, and kind of bring the story to a head, is over 116 counties, local municipalities, cities, and towns across the state have declared themselves sanctuary cities by virtually unanimous vote, standing up to the governor and the incoming Democrat legislative majorities and saying, not here, not now, today will we enforce your unconstitutional gun grabs across the vast majority of the state. Now, when something else in play in Virginia, we have, at the federal level, a electoral college, which keeps from happening what happened in Virginia from what happens from happening nationwide. Because when you look at the map in Virginia, you see five or six counties that are blue, and the rest of the 110 or 115 are bright red. Our Constitution protects that at the federal level, and I think you're going to see something come out of that at the state level now, too, where we don't want five counties, populated counties, dictating policy to the rest of the state who mm-hmm. just want to be left alone. Mm-hmm. So here we have this remarkable uprising, and we have a government now threatening, and a Democrat representative, U.S. Representative Donald McKechnie from the 4th District, not a state rep, but a federal rep, a member of Congress, threatening, saying that the governor could use the National Guard, which is a threat of physical military force against the citizens of Virginia in the face of this uprising, and, of course, the state police. So we have a very volatile, very dangerous situation in Virginia right now. The next move is up to the legislature. The municipalities across the state and the people have spoken.
And we're just days away from them coming into power here at this point. And you said it here, Mark, that the governor is actually talking about confiscation. I mean, many times he'll deny, no, we're not going to confiscate, but that's exactly what he's talking about.
It is. In fact, he blinked a little bit in the face of this, what has got to be incredible pressure. Imagine being the Democrat governor and the Attorney General, Mark Herring, both of whom I believe are socialists, based on their policies, not just my belief, but what they're talking about doing, both of whom are saying that these laws will be strictly enforced in the face of law enforcement officials, elected, oldest constitutional office, by the way, just for the sake of listeners, is the sheriff. It's the oldest constitutionally elected office in the country is the sheriff. Mm-hmm. In the face of the sheriff saying no, you now have the elected officials pushing back. It's a dangerous situation.
One of these bills, I think it's Senate Bill 16, would actually expand this definition of so-called assault weapons. Violators punished up to 5 years in prison in language that's been released so far.
Yes, and they've gone as far as there's a couple other bills, and forgive me, I forget which Senate bill it was, that is, I don't know if it's going to even make it to committee, but nonetheless, the Democrats up there have done their homework. And what they've done is, in this one particular bill, is they've said that if any type of training, any type of formal training in the way the bill is written could be seen as paramilitary training or could consist of a threat to the local government by teaching people safety and firearms training and so forth if you combine it with any martial arts or any type of, you look at a friend of mine, Rob Pincus, teaches combat focus shooting. He's now calling it intuitive skills, but it was considered combat focus shooting. That could be a felony for the instructor for even teaching a gun safety course in Virginia now. So, again, we have to pray for Virginia because all of us, all freedom-loving Americans today are Virginians because this is what will happen. What we're seeing in Virginia is truly remarkable. Mm-hmm. This is what will happen at the federal level if we get Democrats in power at all three levers of government on a national level, at the federal level. What's happening in Virginia will march across this country. It's a very dangerous position to be in. And we have to pray for Virginia and hope that the governor and the attorney general do the right thing in the face of the uprising of the people and stand down. What he's done is he's blinked a little bit, and he says, okay, well, we'll grandfather your guns in as long as you register them by a specific date. Mm-hmm. And the people have said, no. So there's flat out lines drawn in the sand,
yeah.
And this unfortunately could lead to violence.
Well, I understand also that the new budget bill that's being authored by the governor, I saw one story, it sets up $250,000 specifically to incarcerate those found guilty of violating any current or future firearms laws in the state.
That is correct. That is absolutely correct. It's $250,000 allotted to the prisons. I've seen the breakdown. Again, I don't have those numbers in front of me. Please forgive me. But it is $25,000 here. It's $50,000 for prisons. It's $25,000 over here for local municipalities. So, again, they appear, this is an appearance. I believe they will back down. That's my personal opinion. But it appears right now that they're trying to hold their ground and make it look like, in fact, that they're going to try to get the people to back down, but that is not going to happen. In fact, it will only get worse.
Yeah. You're no doubt in contact with people outside the blue lines there that make up the majority there as far as the districts, the populated centers of the state. What are you hearing from the grassroots on this issue? I mean, we know elections have consequences. You said 40% turnout. I mean, 60% stayed home. Buyer's remorse here at this point? What is happening? Will we see recalls or anything like that happen in Virginia?
There are petitions around right now. And I guess just for the air of transparency, I spent a lot of time in Virginia. I moved to Virginia when my mother, after I got out of my first year in college in Connecticut, I moved to Virginia at 18 years old. And my parents lived in Herndon and Reston in Northern Virginia, later relocated to Richmond, where I spent a lot of time water skiing the James River there in Richmond. I graduated college in Radford University out in the beautiful southwest Blue Ridge Mountains, not too far from Virginia Tech. I've later lived back in Richmond and then in Virginia Beach. So my sister has raised her family there and never left the state. I have a lot of friends there. And I can tell you now that there's a lot of buyer's remorse, yes. You know, it's hard to say buyer's remorse if you didn't vote or if you voted, you know, a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when I look at the size of the turnout, and we're talking, this looks like a mini Trump rally, thousands of people packing a room designed to hold 100 people at a county commission office in southwest Virginia, and you've got the entire county showing up,
yeah.
And you think to yourself, you have to think, how many of these people that showed up didn't go to the polls? Certainly some of them didn't go to the polls with numbers like that. So the fact that elections have consequences couldn't be any clearer than what's unfolding in Virginia. I've spoken to a number of friends of mine across the state and a number of friends of mine across the country who are willing and ready to go to Virginia in support of fellow patriots in Virginia if, God forbid, something like that ever happened. But they're scared up there. It's a very tense situation in Virginia right now, and a lot of residents throughout that state are arming up.
Do you believe that the governor would actually call out the National Guard?
He has claimed in a statement through his spokesperson, I believe it was yesterday, that was not on the table and that the governor had no intention of doing that. I believe that the governor may have answered that differently had he not seen the response to the rumor started by Donald McKechnie. But at this point, you have to take him at his word. He said that he would not do that.
Yeah.
And now the National Guard, in all fairness, did issue a response to McKechnie's comments. Personally, I believe it would have been better off for the commander of the Virginia National Guard not to have said anything, because he did not deny that they wouldn't do it or would do it. He didn't say either way, and I think it would have been better off if he had just laid low. But it doesn't appear that that's a threat, and I'm thankful that that is the case, hopefully.
Mark Walters, our guest. Let's open some phone lines today. Our number, 800-733-9829. Folks, your reaction to these issues. I mean, we have the Texas church shooting, 6 seconds from start to finish because people were armed in the congregation to take out the perpetrator of evil. And now we see also the war on the Second Amendment taking place in Virginia. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Attacks continue against the Bible. Some accuse the Bible of not being historically accurate. Some insist it's a book written by man filled with error. But did you know that archaeology continues to confirm what's written in Scripture? In the fully illustrated hardcover book, Evidence for the Bible, you are introduced to the world of biblical archaeology. Using full-color pictures and an easily read format, you will see that what has been dug up from the earth confirms the places and events from Scripture. Rulers and kings are documented. Battles and their outcomes are confirmed. and details of prophetic utterances are precisely what are known to have happened. This book takes you on a fascinating journey during which the traveler never knows what may turn up with the next trial. It's hard to put this book down as one captivating page leads to another. Evidence for the Bible is available for a donation of $30. Call VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Mark Walters. We're discussing both the Texas church shooting, but also the war on the Second Amendment. Mark, you mentioned these are critical issues, and what's going on in Virginia is absolutely critical here, as a most important story right now. How is it our listeners can stay informed on these critical matters?
Very simple. SAF.org, Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org. Founded by the great Alan Gottlieb, who is probably the single most important living human being today as far as gun rights activism is concerned. You can get on that mail list and you will get the press releases. I just got two in the course of the last 3 hours, but that's a great way to stay up on these issues is visiting the SecondAmendmentFoundation.com, or you can visit me at armedamericanradio.com and tune into my show 6 days a week. I go on the air in about 25 minutes from now, actually, so we'll be talking about these things as well.
Okay, give us again your website.
ArmedAmericanRadio.com or .org. Take your pick.
Okay. And SAF.org.
SAF.org. By the way, I do want to point out, if you want to join the Second Amendment Foundation right now, a life membership is only $150. It is tax deductible, and you can do that up until midnight tonight.
Okay. Again, that's the website is SAF.org. And just before we go to our first call here, as you know, we're embarking upon a new year. What do you see in store for this new year of 2020 as it relates to this issue? Do you anticipate we're going to see more states go the way of the governor of Virginia, or do you believe you're going to see more counties going the way of the counties in Virginia standing up for their Second Amendment rights, sanctuary areas?
Both. I think you're going to see both. There's a Supreme Court case right now, New York State Pistol and Rifle Association versus the city of New York, that we will win as long as Justice Roberts, who was the swing vote here, decides not to moot the case because New York fixed their broken law after the Supreme Court decided to hear the case. But we will win that decision, and we will see a furtherance of gun rights across the country, but we will also see blue enclaves dig in. It's hard to say right now because they've been silent ever since the four loudest gun grabbers, when you talk about Beto O'Rourke, Swalwell, Kamala Harris, and now Cory Booker, who have never been able to poll on these loud voices about taking guns away, have never been able to get over 2%. They've now gone into run silent, run deep mode, which is their strategy. And again, they're following the Joy Behar model. Don't tell them what you want to do. Get elected and then just do it. So it remains to be seen. It's going to be a very difficult year for gun owners, and every gun owner must be engaged.
Mark is calling from Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think the Virginia governor is going according to the leftist script. The same guy that would endorse killing babies after birth.
Yeah,
that's right.
Wouldn't have any qualm abolishing the Second Amendment. And as far as I'm concerned, just connect all the other dots. He would take out every other amendment in our Constitution that the our founders established. That's my comment.
Thank you, Mark, for that. And we should point out here, Mark Walters, that some of the same forces that propelled the turning of blue in the state of Virginia are very much at work to do the same thing on a national level.
They are. In fact, Mark, in rural Wisconsin, you live in a beautiful area. I know Wisconsin well. You're absolutely correct about that. This is part of the platform. This is what Bloomberg has laid out. This is what he expects in return for the millions. Now, keep in mind, when I say millions, I mean hundreds of millions of dollars that Michael Bloomberg has pledged, committed, and already spent to wipe out and destroy your Second Amendment rights. A man, by the way, who, when he talks about gun rights, is surrounded by his own personal security.
Salina, Kansas, we have Steve calling. You're on the air, Steve.
Jim, a good program, and Mark, it's always good to hear you. You're well laid out and very thoughtful when you say it. But the left, the socialists, the communists is what they really are. I don't want to call them liberals because that's not right. When they get into a person's head, they tell you what to think, and what a person thinks, they start believing. And one prime example is our conservative radio station here in Salina, Kansas. We have a host that's conservative, he called an AR-15 an assault rifle. It's not an assault rifle. It's a semi-automatic weapon. It has to have a selector switch that goes full auto or three-round burst to do be called an assault rifle.
Steve, in Salina, Kansas, also a great place. I was a keynote speaker at the Kansas State Rifle Association meeting in April up there in Wichita. Love you guys up there. My program airs in a number of cities there, including Salina. Steve, you're correct, and that's why when I say you have to be engaged, we have to be engaged, we are the ones that have to correct this terminology. When someone says something like that, we have to say, with all due respect, and hopefully we're dealing with someone that's intellectually honest, but we have to correct them on that's not an assault rifle, it's not a military-grade weapon, it's a civilian, semi-automatic, .223 caliber rifle in use by tens of millions of Americans across this country every day. Stop believing what you hear from those with an agenda. It's a wonderful point, and thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you, Steve. Let's go to Dick calling from Washington State. Hi, Dick, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Now, what I'm going to do, I want to read a small portion of Article 6 from the U.S. Constitution. This Constitution and the laws of the United States which shall be made in pursuance thereof, and all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state to the contrary, notwithstanding. And the people have to know this and relate it to their representatives and senators, and you can call the president, write letters to the president, that the federal government must back this up and go after the governor of the state of Virginia, and he should be put in prison. And I don't mean maybe.
Okay, thank you for the comments there. The Sixth Amendment apply to this area?
Absolutely it does. Dick, that's a great call, and thank you for reading that. I pulled it up to read along with you when you mentioned it. Now, you are in Washington State. You're in an area that is under tremendous siege right now. In fact, your state in Washington for the last 5 to 7 years has been used as a petri dish by the left, seen a ton of Bloomberg money come in the states, in your initiative 594s and so forth, and 1630, I forget the numbers on behalf of it. Fortunately, you have the great Alan Gottlieb and the Second Amendment Foundation there in Washington State that's trying to counter this, not just in Washington State, but across the country. But you are 100% correct about that, and that's what we're going to see. This is the constitutional crisis that's going to be created in the state of Virginia. Are the sheriffs going to abide by their oath? Is the National Guard, if they were called, going to abide by their oath? Are the state police going to abide? Are the governor and the assembly, who are going to stand up and take an oath to uphold the Constitution in 8 days from now in Virginia, are they going to uphold their oath? There is a crisis in Virginia. It is on full display, and America is watching this very carefully. That's a great call, and thanks for the point.
Thank you for the call here. Let's go next from Washington State, across the country to Bridgeport, West Virginia. Al, you're on the air.
Hey, Jim, Brother Jim, thanks for taking my call. And it is West Virginia, the best Virginia, I'll tell you that right now. You know, Jim, I could assault you with a toothpick, and that is, to me, that's an assault weapon, right? Anything. It's just absolutely ridiculous, but God bless the guy that saved the folks in the church, man, because I don't have any problem whatsoever with anybody carrying a concealed weapon in church. As a matter of fact, it makes me feel more comfortable and more safe. And, you know, it's just, and that, that governor in Virginia, he's just disgusting, Jim. He's disgusting, period.
Al, thanks for the comments. And Mark, I mean, here we saw, tragically, two lives taken in that church in Texas, but had these parishioners not been caring, the numbers are untold that would have lost lives, that would have been taken as a result of a non-response other than perhaps throwing a hymn book.
Yeah, that wouldn't have done anything, as we all know. And the left's decision, did we see these crazy lunatic things of, you know, having buckets of river stones that they can throw at people and lobbing chairs. Lobbing chairs and throwing stones at people does not stop bullets coming at you. And I like Jim's comment about, you know, West Virginia, by God, it is such a beautiful place and a freedom-loving place. And again, thanks for the call, because everybody, your audience, is bringing up wonderful points.
By the way, again, folks, the website is SAF, that stands for Second Amendment Foundation, SAF.org, And when you go and you see the About button at the top of the page, you'll see the section about SAF email alerts. You can sign up for those there, get other information, stay informed, saf.org. Coming back to Wisconsin, William's calling from East Troy. And, William, you're on the air.
Yeah, I think I wasn't mistaken. One time they said that a 5-year-old, a kindergartner, was expelled because he was pointing his finger at somebody, and they called that an AR-15. That's ridiculous. But my question to your guest today is, where do you think this anti-tyrannical sentiment came in, where our people in America started thinking that our government could never be tyrannical and that we don't need to protect ourselves from a out-of-control government? I mean, I think it was Thomas Jefferson who said we need to protect ourselves from the government. We should even tear it down every 10 years and start over. What's your thoughts on that?
Thank you, William.
Another great question, William. Thanks for that question and the opportunity to answer it. In today's modern day and age, one of the biggest problems we face in this country, in my humble opinion, is a mainstream press that is pushing a political agenda, which happens to be a leftist, socialist, radical agenda, that is extremely powerful because it exists in the form of a 24-hour, quote-unquote, news cycle and is aided and abetted by what I believe to be evil social media. I don't know if you've ever been to Twitter. If you don't have to go there, don't. It's a very hateful place. But social media combined with instant information in a 24-hour cycle with a leftist agenda being pushed and rammed down our throats. Look, we've got an entire... I'm going to defend Ocasio-Cortez right now, believe it or not. This young woman has grown up knowing nothing but what she's been taught by leftists. The oceans are receding, everything's going to blow up, everything's fascist, everything's... She's been taught that from day one. From day one. She doesn't know any difference inside that bubble that she lives in. Meanwhile, those of us that are old enough remember the woolly mammoth on the cover of Time or whatever it was when the
yes.
Ice Age was coming.
Yeah, that's
okay?
Right.
So it's hard to blame her for that. And we as conservatives have to take some responsibility, and here's why. And this is the crux to the answer of your question, because we let this happen. We didn't pull our kids out when we saw what was going on in colleges. We continued to pay the tuitions. We continued to go watch movies from leftist actors and leftist movies. We continued to pay for that entertainment. We continue to buy the albums, this disgusting music that's now pushing a leftist agenda. And on top of that, we allowed the media to turn completely in this country over the last 50 to 60 years to an un-American agenda that has been cramming this garbage down the throats of Americans now for decades. And all of a sudden, we woke up one day and went, oh my gosh, what happened? And here we are. And the answer to that question is because that's all these people hear, and a large segment of them begin to believe it. And when you combine an emotional response to what happened in Texas, along with this leftist propaganda that someone has been fed for so many years, it is a recipe for disaster, and we find ourselves where we are today, sadly.
William, thank you for the call from East Troy. And, you know, he brought up the aspect of children. Yes, you got children who had eaten a Pop-Tart and it looks like a gun, and we see sanctions against them. I just saw here, too, this commentary from out of New York where this consumer group, Mark, was labeling Nerf guns as assault-style toy weapons.
Yeah, in fact, I saw the commercial that they were referring to the other day. Each of the Nerf guns gets more nerfier as they go up the food chain, and the grandma winds up bringing in a really cool Nerf gun with a big drum on it that shoots lots of Nerf toys, and somehow the left has gone crazy over that.
Yeah.
That, you know, sadly, that we're at a point, and this is political correctness run amok, and we bear some responsibility here, Jim. We really, truly do as conservatives, in a sense, for allowing this to happen and not putting a stop to it.
We've got a quick break here. We'll be back in 1 minute taking more of your calls. Callers lined up from Maryland, Tennessee, and Wisconsin. And we'll be back here in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Again, the website, saf.org. Stay with us.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. We've started a series on the dangers of discourse. Not the dangers of conversation, not the dangers of debate, but the danger of discourse. The belief that you can find common ground with Marxist or Islamist or extremist. Well, we learned, number one, to do that, you must accept their language. Number two, when you agree to have discourse with them, You're saying that your position is not fully truthful or acceptable. You're admitting by engaging in a discourse that there's something wrong with your position, be it your defense of capitalism, your defense of pro-life issues, your defense of national sovereignty. By agreeing to be involved in a discourse with them, you're openly saying, well, my position isn't fully 100% acceptable. It somehow needs to be mixed with their thesis. Well, that's the whole goal. Don't be involved in discourse with progressive Marxist Islamist.
Mark Walter is our guest here today on Crosstalk and discussing certainly Second Amendment issues. There is a war on the Second Amendment, and the state of Virginia right now is the classroom case where this is unfolding here and how the people will respond. Very interesting to observe. Also, the Texas church shooting should really compel forward this argument that certainly to carry conceal is by good people is what's going to stop the evil from taking place. I mean, that's what we're seeing, Mark, from this classroom.
Of course, but this is something that we've known for many years.
Yes.
Tens of millions of Americans, as you know, Jim, carry concealed weapons and do it safely every day. And it's interesting when you hear people say, I don't feel safe knowing that someone's out there with a gun in there. Oh, my gosh, it's hidden. These are the same people who stand in front of you and don't realize that you're in the grocery store with them, the bank line with them, sitting next to them at restaurants, who may one day be able to save their lives.
Yes.
Because they have a firearm, just like we witnessed in Texas. Again, such important video, disturbing to watch, but very important to see.
We have Robert calling from Maryland. Robert, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having this topic on today. I think that the churches should really get motivated and head to the state capitals. We're in one of the liberal states adjoining Virginia, and we see individuals testifying, and I usually go for pro-life bills and what have you, and represent our church, but I think we need to step out and do that as well. And I have a question for the speaker here. We have an armed uniformed police officer in the sanctuary during the services, and I know other people are armed. Should there be some coordination planning regarding if an incident happens and the official police officer may not know all the people that are armed.
Great question, Robert. And something again from the classroom going on in Texas. They had training classes going on in Texas at this church.
Correct, Robert. Great question. Thanks for the call. What I like to say from where you are is you're behind enemy lines there in Maryland, no doubt. Your governor and your state has waged war against our Second Amendment rights in the past as well. But yeah, it's a great question. I have no problem with that at all. In fact, I would hope that the congregation that is trained and working on behalf of the church as security is working with law enforcement. And I can tell you again, as Jim is referring to this classroom in Texas, what we're seeing, if that individual had a disguise and wanted to take anybody out, the first individual that he would want to take out would be someone who he knew was armed, which in this case could have been an armed law enforcement officer. And as we saw in the classroom, as we describe it, I like that. I'm going to kind of hijack that term from you, Jim.
Sure.
But as we look at this classroom, we see the others that popped up that went directly at the threat as well. Just a remarkable unfolding. But yeah, I think that's exactly what should happen. That coordination should definitely be there, sure.
Thank you, Robert. Let's go to Jim in Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I just was reminded just like yesterday or day before about the various Islamist terrorist training camps throughout America. Mm-hmm. And one of them they mentioned was in Falls Church, Virginia, I believe it was. And the imams are saying that they want to arm themselves to commit jihad. And I'm just wondering, wouldn't they just love it if the rest of the citizenry of that state were disarmed? And would the same people that were disarming them go after the jihadists as well?
That's another issue. I mean, we're talking the classification of evil here, Mark.
We are, but he brings up a good point. Jim, you bring up a wonderful point, and that is, in the overall scheme of things, criminals love a disarmed population because it makes us all sitting ducks. That's why 99% of these types of crimes occur in a gun-free zone. And we see what happens when it's not a gun-free zone.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes the case that we talk about every single day, that you're sitting duck in a gun-free zone. A criminal knows that real quick. It was Cuomo, Andrew Cuomo, in New York State not too long ago, signing a bill, Pelosi by his side, flanked by armed security at the bill signing at the State House. When a question was asked by a reporter, should we arm our teachers? It was shortly after Parkland. And he laughed and said, it's the stupidest thing you could do. That's all we need is more bullets flying around. This from a man sitting there who I believe would say that if someone came in to try to assassinate him during that bill signing, would hope that someone would throw lead the other direction.
Right, right.
So the hypocrisy here is crazy. They co-opt, they hijack the language when they call common sense gun safety measures. What's common sense gun safety measures? What we just saw in Texas. And any clear-thinking, rational, honest American, intellectually honest American knows that.
Jim, thanks for the call. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Jim, I just wanted to say to the Democrats out there that still think the Democratic Party is the party of the grandpa. It is not. This is a dangerous party at best. It is an evil party at worst. Do not support it. Do not support it. Thank you for exposing everything today, Jim.
Thank you, Merle, for your call. And quickly, Robert in Glendale, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Well, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Mark. Mark, in light of everything that's transpiring, and now we have the situation in Iraq today, mm-hmm. where Iran has sicked his little boys on our embassy, and the fact that a caller just mentioned we already have these...
Robert, go right to your question. I'm running out of time.
How close do you think we are to a national war in America?
Oh, that's such an incredible question. A lot. The mere fact that it's even being discussed should frighten every freedom-loving American. But here's what I will say. Freedom will always prevail. I believe that. I believe that in my deepest of soul, I believe that freedom will always prevail. But there's a legitimate question I want every listener to ask themselves. Ask yourself, what is it about this agenda, this agenda that Merle just mentioned from Tennessee, that is not the party that we knew 10 years ago, 20 years ago, the Democrat Party that we knew with blue dogs, et cetera. Ask yourself this question. What is it about today's Democrat Socialist Party that requires you to be disarmed? What is it about their agenda that their first order of business is to disarm the population? That's a legitimate question today, and it should frighten every American.
Robert, thank you. And we're out of time. Mark, we've got 30 seconds here yet, but we're entering a new year, 2020. What should be in our minds moving forward here? What should we be doing?
We need to dedicate ourselves, pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and I'm going to ask your listeners to do what I asked my listeners and Alan Gottlieb asked them to do, and that is spend one extra hour a day. Find it from within you to fight for the right to bear arms. Make phone calls if you hear something. Write letters to the editor. Join a grassroots organization. Put signs in yards. Do what you have to do and join us at SAF.org.
Okay, Mark Walters, our guest. Again, the site, SAF.org. Mark, thank you so much. You've carved time out of a very busy schedule to join us, and we greatly appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jim. Look forward to joining you again.
Mark Walters, our guest here today. Critical issues that are before us, folks. And let's keep this nation in prayer. God bless you. Thanks for listening today to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.